Okay, everyone. Thanks for coming. Welcome to, I think, the last session of the afternoon, is it not? So this is First Look Jive Apps. And basically, you know, I'm your host. I spend about 10 seconds up here introducing Robin, and that's the end of it. My name is Josh Frick. I'm on the product management team at Jive. Robin is our VP of apps, as I like to call him, and he's here to show off sort of what can be done with the app framework, and in fact is going to have a few developers come through as well to show what they're going to do with it. So with that, I'll leave it to you, Robin.
Thanks,
Robin Bardulli.
So quick raise of hands, actually. Who was in the Jive Apps Market session? So I can just gauge the audience. So about 50% of you. Okay, we do have, as a rebel, we do have our own hashtag. Obviously, there's a Jive World hashtag, but feel free to use that one as well. Quick show of hands as well in terms of if you're a Jive customer, whether you are an internal, whether you have an internal community or an external community. Got it. Okay, great. So I wanted to, so for those of you that have already seen the format, apologies. So three questions. So I want to answer the question, what is a Jive app? Not the market, what is the specifics of a Jive app? And we had some questions on that, and hopefully the people that answered the question in the last session will be here. So how does it work in Jive? So the specific of, okay, each app will be different, but how does each app interact with the core Jive platform? And then the third is, can you show me? You don't want to listen to me for an hour talking, so we'll actually show you. And we've got six companies here today that are going to show you sort of early sneak peek at that. But for those of you that were at the previous presentation, I think there's probably a question that you're all thinking about that I want to answer before we get to that stuff, which is, who is this guy with the strange accent? So I'm not from around here. And I come from a country where we like beer at warm at room temperature, not cold. We play our sport, ferocious sport, with no padding. Are there any Australians in the room? Oh, okay. And we like off-the-wall comedy. And despite the accent, I actually... I went to university, as you know, that considers it sold, considers itself an Arriviste university because it was founded in the 13th century, not in the 12th century. And I read some old languages. So I came out, I've been out here since 96, and I'm not going to bore you with the rest of it, but sort of fast forward here to 2010. And why am I excited to be here? Because I do think the combination of here at Jive. So I do think the combination of apps, so the example of apps we're going to see, combined with bringing those into a business context and giving them social DNA, is at the beginning of something incredibly, incredibly powerful. And you'll start to, you know, you'll start to understand this when we show some of the apps here. So back to the three questions. What is a Jive app? How does it work in Jive? And can you show me? So what is a Jive app? Okay, an app, the word app is a sort of empty term, and many people go app, applications, you know, it's an empty term. And you'll think about things that are not a Jive app. So for example, I'm not talking about taking an entire enterprise application and shoving it inside of Jive. What we are talking about is writing apps that use that data in innovative and useful and engaging ways. So we don't want you trapped in rows and columns. I've spent a large amount of my career in rows and columns. I want to free you out of that and give you a much more engaging experience. So this is actually one of the apps that will be coming up here. I've lost Rob. There's Rob, CEO of Lingotech. So Lingotech is a collaborative translation platform. So obviously I think you'll appreciate there's a big difference between that and that visually. Just your first initial reaction, pulling you in. Now you'll hear about Rob talk about this, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. User experience. So is Michelle in the back of the room? There's Michelle. And Chris is in the back of the room. So two of our product designers there, one on the market side, one on the apps framework side, and interaction. This is something we spend a lot of time and energy on. So these apps should be the type of user experience that you have in your consumer lives that we want to bring inside of the enterprise. And the 80-20 rule. So we're not going to shove everything in here, okay? Each app is going to do a few things really, really well. But we're not going to try and jam-pack it with features. So sources of data. You heard me say this before. So an app will be able to pull in data from Jive. So what your connections are, your groups, your discussions, etc. So that is going to be new, not possible today. The second is from the cloud. So each of these applications that we're going to see today will also be pulling data through the cloud. And here's some of the ones that we're working with, and six of them are here with us today. Enterprise data. So I'll show you one example of an app that's pulling enterprise data. And is Craig here? I think Craig's at the back there. So tomorrow during our Jive Apps Developers event, there is an Unlocking the Enterprise, I think is the name of the session, Craig. What time is it tomorrow? 4:45 tomorrow. So if you'd like a little bit more of a deeper dive at that stage, please attend Craig's session, which is in Track 6, the Jive Apps Developer event. And we'll learn an awful lot more about what's possible and how you can pull data out of these systems and bring them inside of Jive, inside of an engaging app. So you want to be able to unlock your enterprise data. So how does it work in Jive? I did a call out before to Chris. Chris Rivard actually is in the room now this time. So Chris is, I call him the keeper of the interaction model. He probably doesn't like that term. But Chris spends his days and nights thinking about how can an app interact with Jive? Okay, what is the best way for it to interact? And thinking about that day and night. And there are four touch points. And you probably heard me say there were three touch points in the last presentation. So you're wondering whether our roadmap has shifted in the course of 3 hours. No, it hasn't, because in the last presentation, I was talking about Jive Apps Market. So that's actually the first interaction. So if you hadn't been in the session before, I just wanted to point out that interaction point. So the first point is the market comes to you inside of Jive. And that is where a user gets an app. After they had the app and they've added it to their personal dashboard, that is where they then go to use the app. So the personal dashboard, multiple apps on the dashboard, and being able to expand an app into a more fully immersive experience. Third part is what matters. Josh Rakow, who is a product manager for What Matters, amongst other things, as well as session manager, track manager here. If you want to learn more about What Matters, let me just pause here. Who has already heard the phrase What Matters during Jive World so far? Okay. Who understand what matters is? Okay, so not right. So you got a fair amount of work to do. So there is a session 11 o'clock tomorrow. So if you want to understand more about this concept, I'd encourage you to go to that session. I'll give the two-minute piece, which is this is our major investment in terms of noise reduction and signal amplification in terms of a user understanding what's going on inside of a Jive community that matters to them. So did anyone see, so Google came out with Priority Inbox. So did everyone, raise your hands if you saw that announcement or have used the product. Okay. So that similar concept there where, okay, your inbox is flooded, it tends to be sorted by just chronology, but some of the important stuff may actually get pushed off. If you don't check your email for a day or two, it may get sort of pushed off the page. Similar sort of concept here, obviously far more sophisticated and powerful than that, than just a simple tag, but using things we know about both the data and the user to surface what matters to you. But again, big concept, lot to learn, lot to communicate. If you want to learn more, 11 o'clock, and we'll also be demoing it on main stage at 8:30 tomorrow as well. So the little concept here is inside of, so there's a Green Commute Challenge app here, which is actually a real app that's been built by most of the team that's sitting on the back row, actually. So do you want to stand up quickly? So Michelle, Chris, Craig, Chris, Alex. Have I missed anyone out? So this is part of the team that's actually been building that app. So we have built a real app that will be demoed on main stage tomorrow, as well as we'll be using during the Jive Apps developer event to show what the framework can do. So we'll be spending more time on that. In essence, let me tell you a little bit about what the app is, and then these guys can correct what I get wrong over the course of the next 24 hours. So it basically does a couple of things. So companies today want to be greener. You know, a lot of companies have actually got a carbon footprint reduction target. What this is trying to do is sort of bring gaming mechanics and social interactions to that, make it a little bit fun, and also help drive towards that corporate goal. So you actually log in. What have I done today? Have I ridden my bike to work? Have I taken the train? Have I done a car share ride? And then fills that out, allows you to track that, see how you're doing against your connections, against the larger community, and then, you know, also sort of roll that up. So I'm going to ask Chris Rivard there whether, is that a fair description of what the app does? Great. So in terms of how an app interacts with what matters, so what matters is across Jive community as a whole. It's not specific to apps, so I don't want to give that impression. It is the primary interface that users will be using to understand what's going on in a community and to pay attention to what they care about. And for the things that matter to them, also to surface to them as well. So reduce that workload. If I am following Josh, and Josh installs the Green Commuter app, I will see the activities, the social actions that happen as a result of that. I'll see it when he adds it, I'll see when he reviews it, etc. Was that a question? Oh no, it's Michelle. Sorry, it's Michelle's hand. And then quick question. This is going to bore the people that are already in the previous session, but who has tried to block a Facebook app from something that their friend is using because it annoys them? Okay, so the Facebook Farmville problem. We'll be doing the same through What Matters here as well. So imagine I'm already using the Green Commuter Challenge, and I really care about what Josh does, but I really don't care about this app anymore. I either tried it and wasn't interesting to me, or I really don't care about it. I could block the app, but I continue to get everything else from Josh. So we're giving those fine-level controls that will allow you to sort of tune in and tune out of what you really care about. So the fourth one, injection into content. I'm going to steal an example from Gliffy. We have the CEO of Gliffy with us today. He'll be coming up shortly. So the idea that you could have an app that you're creating something with, and then you want to share that with other people inside of Jive who don't have that app. So you're not sharing it within the app, but from the app, you inject that into content here. So create an engineering drawing, and I now want to share that inside of a discussion inside of Jive. So probably sick and tired of my voice. So can you show me? The answer is definitively yes. We'll show more tomorrow as well. So we've actually got six companies here that we're going to sort of spend a little bit of time on. So I'd like to invite up Aaron Levy, who's the CEO of Box.net. And we're going to go through a few slides. Actually, when you come here,
cool.
I'm trying to work out the right. Is the mic working? Can you hear Aaron?
Hello.
Yeah, great. So Aaron, tell me, quick raise of hands. So here, who here knows what Box.net does? Okay, so about a
100% or so?
About a 20% of the audience.
Okay,
we'll get that to 100%. So tell me a little bit about what Box does and who the target customer is.
Sure. So thank you very much, everybody, for having me. So Box.net was founded with a really, really simple vision, which is to make it really easy to share and access your information from wherever you are. So the idea was you have a lot of content that you're creating on your computer, and you want to be able to store this online in the cloud and be able to pull it from your iPad or your iPhone and be able to share it out to other people. And so our vision is to connect this data into all the areas that you're going to be working from or accessing your information from.
Great. And tell me a little bit about the progress that you've made. So how long you've been around, how many users, et cetera.
Yeah, so we have 4 million users, tens of thousands of businesses that use the product, and really what we're trying to focus on is to reduce the complexity and cost and all the scalability challenges that go into traditional file servers, that go into traditional collaboration platforms like SharePoint. We want to bring this data to the cloud and then connect it into your other applications and other environments. And we're really excited because we have lots and lots of businesses that use the product today.
Great. And tell me a little bit, obviously, tell me a little bit about why you're interested in partnering with Jive through the apps framework and the apps market.
Sure. So when we started Box, again, the idea was how could we take the data that you're working on your computer or working on with other people and expose it into other environments? And what happened was as soon as we launched the product, people wanted to access their information from other services. So they might be storing data in Box.net, but they wanted it on their personal homepage, or they wanted to be able to get it in their other devices. And we think of Jive as a perfect platform where you'd want to be working with people on your Jive platform, and you'd want to be able to access your content from Box.net. And additionally, we can support the use case of sharing outside of Jive as well. So if you have a lot of content that you want to be able to expose to third parties or be able to share securely with our secure sharing system, that becomes really, really easy to do through the Jive interface.
Yeah, so on that point, so for those of you that have an internal community, obviously, employees collaborate internally, but most employees have to do something externally as well. So what we're looking at here is the ability, obviously, Jive right now has document sharing internally. What we're trying to do is extend that capability. So if you're working with third parties, lawyers, accountants, partners, et cetera, and you want to be able to share documents, that you can do that through the Box app inside of Jive. So with that, let me hand over to her, and you can talk a little bit more about the product.
Cool. So basically, what we wanted to do is on the dashboard expose a sort of real-time view of what's going on within your Box.net account when it's connected to Jive. The great thing is if you're already using Box.net and people are already updating content within your Box.net ecosystem, some of those updates and that sort of set of notifications and activity will show up here. So the really powerful thing is that from your Jive homepage or dashboard, you'll be able to see the other things that are happening within your Box.net ecosystem. So we think that's super exciting. We think that Jive will be a platform where a lot of Box.net activity gets created and viewed from. The other powerful thing is we can be integrated into other projects or other things that you're working on within Jive. So again, the value and vision of Box is to make it super, super simple to share content. So if you want to share a lot of PowerPoint files, if you want to share project documents, if you want to share photos or media related to a marketing project, you can do that through Box.net, integrated into Jive. We can be integrated directly into the Jive interface, so you can access all of your Box.net information. You can securely share out any of this content, both through email or through Jive directly. It'll show up in the what's new when what's happening when things are updated. And this is going to be a really cool way that we can integrate the content that you're working on with Box with the content that you have on Jive and the projects that you have on Jive. And so if you have an iPad or if you have our synchronization product on your desktop, all of the events from those systems will also end up here, and all of that data hopefully can be syndicated and federated in a really, really kind of cool and seamless way. So we're really excited, and we think this is actually totally consistent with where we see the future of business apps going and where we see the future of the enterprise going as it relates to bringing awesome technology to companies.
Great.
So thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Wow, thank you so much. Very good. So super excited. Very good.
So while we're doing quick changeover, there's a question here.
Yeah, so you can either grab a sharing link that will take you to exactly that file, or if you use our set of APIs, you'll be able to pull up any kind of specific rights or privileges around any specific document. So that would be through our API, but of course, we'd be able to expose that through the Jive interface as an HTTP link in that case.
Is it the standard pattern that your gadget or one of those widgets is talking to this REST pattern, REST service, or is that the standard pattern?
Yeah.
Right. So it's calling through REST, and that's a Flash interface on our end that's calling through through a REST API. Okay. Cool.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. So I'd like to introduce David Klein's Director of Product Management at Brainshark. So let's do the same poll again. So who here has heard of or knows what Brainshark does? So I think I'll see about 4 or 5 hands.
Mm-hmm.
So Brainshark is trying to do So let me ask another question. Who here knows what SlideShare does? Okay, well, you got a bit of a marketing problem. So SlideShare is the
not at all.
So Brainshark is the professional version of SlideShare. So anyway, I will with that. I'll let me turn it over to you. But let me ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
So obviously, I've given the analogy there, but help the audience understand a little better who your target customer is and the specific business problem that you're trying to solve for.
Sure, absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. So in terms of competitive differences with SlideShare, you can talk to me afterwards. But basically, what we are doing is we're enabling all business people to be able to very easily create, manage, deliver, and track multimedia content. And it's multimedia content that they've created from already authored material that they have, whether on their desktops or on the servers. What we do is we focus on enterprises that are looking to enhance their productivity, lower the costs in general communications. This is communications in sales, marketing, channels, HR, and training. And in essence, we're seeing communication as being in two categories. You have live and you have on-demand. And the live, you know, like face-to-face, is extremely effective but tends to be very expensive. Then you have your live webinars as well that have some negatives, which they have a decent amount of drop-off rate, no-shows, et cetera. So we helped companies to manage those two types of methods and really try to enhance, if not replace, some of the costs associated with these communication issues by using on-demand content, on-demand video content that's used by throughout the organization.
In a prior life before Jive, I actually have used the Brainshark application. I used it in marketing campaigns where I was trying to outreach to a number of potential prospects. And what you would do is you would embed the application in sort of that campaign, and I would then be able to know who opened this, did it get forwarded, who viewed it, and I use this sort of through Salesforce as well. So very, very sort of targeted, purposeful application, and that's one use of it.
At its basics, you have a file, you upload it, you end up adding audio, whether it's picking up the phone and narrating or going through a microphone, and then you can immediately start sharing it and tracking the effectiveness of it.
So for the people in the room, which is about 99% that don't know Brainshark, tell me a little bit more about the sort of the progress. So how many users, what sort of customers, et cetera.
This year marks our 10th year, so we have over 1,300 enterprise customers, a third of the Fortune 100. We've achieved four nines of reliability. We are fully redundant with disaster recovery. And then we recently enabled our content to stream over all mobile devices, as well as take your content and publish it out to YouTube. So that's exciting.
So tell me a little bit about why you're interested in the Jive Apps market.
Well, Jive is... Jive is about engaging more effectively with your communities of companies, your community of employees, your customers, partners, etc. And you really need, communication is a key aspect to that success. Brainshark is all about making communication a lot more effective and productive.
So let's give the audience a little view of what that might look like.
Sure. So we look at the dashboard, and in essence what we're doing is, since I'm logged in to Jive, I'm logged into Brainshark. This is content that was created by the organization, whether it's individuals, because what we've done is we've democratized the ability to actually create this content by empowering, or really it's the company that empowers their employees to create content, or else it's coming from corporate on down. And this is a real feed of video content that was created for me, and in this case, it's the latest published and highlighted that will appear on my desktop. I expand that out to the Canvas view, and now you're dealing with a more comprehensive and organized feed of relevant information. Again, this is based on folder permissioning, so this is the stuff that I should have permission to see and that I want to see that's relative to me. So in this case, I'm a salesperson for a newly acquired company Medica Pharmaceutica. They recently acquired me, and now I want to find out a little bit more about the updates on the acquisition, so the merger updates. So I'm getting a feed of content from there. I'm able to obtain some additional training so that I can improve as an employee within this new organization, or maybe it's dealing with some of the compliance from an HR perspective that needs to be fulfilled from my end, because there's a lot of tracking in there. Or maybe it's product marketing, so I can also become a better salesperson for these particular products. The leaderboard on the right-hand side gives me a sense of how the rest of the organization is interacting with that content. And then, as I said before, the ability to upload that content, my own content, so that I can actually produce a voice within the organization empowers me to take that next step and start producing the right type of content. And we heard a lot of that from other sessions. Just so that, since a lot of people don't know what a brain shark is, what happens is, I'll click on this and you can see a sample, which is not showing up here. Is this not going to Firefox?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. So anyway, so
the browser
is a different one. So the clicking on this, I'm able to get a lot more in-depth understanding of this particular BrainShark content. And again, it's produced by the product marketing team. This is giving me an update on the latest products that I want to, so I can learn about how to better sell that particular new release. We have the comments we're pulling in from the rest of the Jive environment, and it gives me a good sense of how other people are viewing this in terms of its general effectiveness.
Is that not working, I'm afraid.
Okay. So I've got my hand puppets, but that would be key right now. But in essence, it's think of the YouTube player coming up. It is a very easily created presentation uploaded with PowerPoint. You're seeing the animations. You're getting a voiceover, potentially getting some background audio. I've learned from this. This is my type of sort of informal learning. I'm then able to share it out with some prospects. So I've met individuals here. I say, great, this is a great opportunity to forward them some of the information that I'd like to sell them. And then I add a tracking code, because what ends up getting pushed out is purely a URL to a Flash-based web page. And that way I can start to track that effectiveness of my efforts. I'm able to get some reporting, whether it's very lightweight aggregate reporting here of the different views, or more detailed information on who viewed it, when they viewed it, what slides they ended up viewing, so I can gain a good value to the content itself, as well as being able to add in questions and polls and surveys and attachments if it's marketing collateral, and track exactly what's been downloaded. So it can be very used in a very lightweight fashion. It can be a very, very robust and powerful tool.
Great. Thank you very
Great.
Much, David.
Thank you.
So I'd like to invite up the CEO and co-founder of Gliffy, Chris Colehart. So while we're waiting for Chris to come out, quick show of hands. Here, who knows, has heard of Gliffy or has used Gliffy before? There's a real fan there. There's like someone waving their hand vociferously. Small number, but hardcore and vociferous. So Chris, tell us a little bit more about what Gliffy does and who's using it.
Sure. Can you hear that? So let me ask you another question. Who's heard of Microsoft Visio? A few more people? Okay, so that's basically what we do. We've created a rich internet application that's a web-based diagram editor, very similar to Visio, but it's all right packaged inside in your web browser instead of on your desktop. So you don't have to install anything. You just go to our website and it just, poof, you have a diagram editor right there.
And so tell me a little bit more about sort of how big you are, how long you've been around, how many users you have.
Sure. We've been here in business for about 5 years. We're profitable today. We have over 500,000 users on our web app, and we have customers from all over the place now, over 40 countries. Just a few of the customers we have include Apple, Cisco, and SAP Labs.
So you may actually, there may be users inside of your companies that are using Gliffy that you don't know about. This would be a prime example of how What Matters would actually help an app that is helping some of your colleagues actually be discovered and be sort of more widely known inside of a community. So Chris actually said something very important there, which is he's profitable, which I sort of applaud. And did you share how many employees you have?
We're pretty small. We've got 4 employees right now. But we're growing. We're looking for developers. Yeah. If anybody's
he's out hiring,
there.
So if there's anyone. So you know, this is sort of a great example of a company that's got a very specific problem, built a great solution, has got users inside the companies you will have heard of, but is not you know, widely known, and we want to bring it to a wider audience. So with that, let me hand over. The clicker.
Thanks.
You can talk a little bit more about the actual app.
So in this view, basically we're just looking at an activity stream of different diagrams. So you just see a list of different diagrams that maybe have been recently updated. So then maybe if you want to edit one of them, this is going to launch our diagram editor within your web browser. And again, the great thing about this is you're not going to have to install anything extra. You're not, you know, you don't have to use Visio anymore. And you know, there's a lot of people who don't like Visio. But there's
Let's just ask that actually. So who here has used Visio? Is there anyone from Visio here before I offend anyone?
Yeah.
Who here likes Visio? I'll ask the positive question. There we go.
Yeah, it's very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why we wanted to build this, because we identified it as a really useful app, but our skill set was in web-based rich internet apps, so we wanted to accomplish that in the web. And I think this really highlights why we think this is a really powerful thing. With our app, you're not going to have to deal with the management of 20,000 installs of Visio across your enterprise. That's the major thing here. It's all going to be managed inside Jive and managed in one central place. And it's going to be presented through people through the web browser. So that's really one of the major benefits right there. And then you'll be able to more easily share documents with really anyone in your entire company, because they're not going to have a copy of Visio to be able to view and edit their diagrams. So that's a big key there. And then the plan is we want to integrate it with the different sort of ways to communicate within Jive. So in this screenshot, which Robin already showed, this is discussing a diagram within a discussion in Jive. So, you know, I think it's going to be a big win for a lot of users.
Now Chris, I know you have partnered with other companies and built to other platforms. So tell the audience a little bit more about sort of the questions you had in your mind when we first met and how we're addressing them.
Sure. So we've been pretty picky about who we wanted to work with.
Oh.
we've been talking to Jive for 3 years about wanting to do something with them. And so this is, it's actually, I think it was pretty, when Robin showed us how they wanted to tackle this problem with apps, I was pretty impressed. I mean, and I've seen a lot of different ways that companies are doing are dealing with apps in their environments and their platforms. And you know, the way that Robin and the rest of the Jive team has decided to tackle this is pretty unique, pretty creative, and it's pretty interesting. It's going to be pretty exciting to see how it goes. We can't wait to get started with it. But
great.
We think you did a good job.
Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Any questions before I take this off? Any questions? No? All right.
And please hang around, because I'm sure there will be. So now I'd like to invite up Rob Vandenberg from Lingotech. So again, let's do a quick show of hands. I'm going to have to give a prize to actually which of the 6 actually can get the biggest show of hands. So who has heard of Lingotech or used Lingotech before? There is one hand here, yes.
We got one hand?
So you've heard of it, okay.
You're going to get a prize.
Give that lady
one strong.
The short answer is that they're focused on collaborative translation. But let me ask you, Robert, sort of put it in a little bit more context. So obviously that's very broad. A number of us, quick raise of hands, who's used Google Translate? Okay, so we understand the fundamental concept. Who speaks more than one language? Okay, we've got a pretty international audience here. So tell me a little bit more about, and put it in the context of, obviously the audience knows Google Translate. So what's different about Lingotech than Google Translate?
Sure. So Lingotech is a sort of a full software platform for ingesting content, assigning workflows, and providing resources to the translation process. So Google Translate is machine translation. It's a automated, sort of meat grinder, if you will, of translation. It's great for getting a gist. And so Lingotech actually integrates in Google Translate into our platform for those folks that want to get a quick read on what is this information about? Is it relevant to me? But it's really not for translating information that you want to publish or reuse, put on your website, put in marketing collateral, things like that. So Lingotech provides a platform to ingest lots of content, have it professionally translated, have it community translated, and provide various resources into that process.
So tell me a little bit more about how many languages you cover, what sort of customers and what sort of content you've translated today.
Sure. So Lingotech actually deals with all language pairs. We're language agnostic, so you can deal with, if you have a project and you want to localize, you want to go into 10 countries, you can localize into 10 languages. And you can initiate projects, assign workflows to that, recruit, freelancers often to participate in the translation process. One of the things that's unique about Lingotech, and we introduced a couple years ago, was the idea of crowdsourcing translation. And so, a more friendly way to say that would be community translation. And so we're really bringing together the idea of communities, content, and saying, hey, half the audience here has language skills. So if you could sort of pick, instead of user-generated content, think of user-generated translation, you can say, I want to see this content in a different language, or participate in that process if you're a subject matter expert, whatever the case may be. Here's a platform that's in line with the content to do that translation.
So if I understand it correctly, then you've also got, on your platform, you've got people who are sort of active and ready to do translation, but you can also activate a new community as well.
Absolutely. So there's professionals. You can incorporate various resources. So there's technical resources as well as personnel-based resources. So you have professionals that might want to be in the final step of review or translation, whereas other folks have language skills. They'll participate for 5 minutes, 5 hours, whatever the case may be. But they're involved in sort of the curation of the content. They can say, I want this to be translated, I'll participate, and it gets assigned back out to the crowd. Sort of a wiki-based translation, if you will, with lots of resources.
And you say you translate all language pairs. Do you do Klingon?
Klingon is absolutely one of the languages.
Got it.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So here, let me hand over the clicker and you can show the app in action a little bit more.
Okay, so what we have here is Lingotech inside, sort of it's this idea of people within the Jive community would be able to say, we want this content to be translated. And people that have a language pair enabled in their profile can say, okay, I'll do the website copy. So I think this one is about Alan Young doing the translation of the website copy. So what you're getting here is you're getting a scoreboard of all the content that that Alan has translated. So it counts words translated, documents translated, what his score is, how he ranks in comparison to his colleagues. So that's what this view is. So in line with the content, I think there's potential for us to go deeper into a Jive integration. But what we're seeing here is in line with content, you can say, hey, what sort of level of translation? We have this concept of a content value index. If you're interested in what this says, you can say, I just want to see a machine translation. Great, you get a gist or sentiment of what this is about. If you want to participate in the translation process, you click on the middle button, it would launch a modal, and this is what that looks like. So it renders it on a source or segment by segment basis. You type in the translation, you have this concept of translation memories. A lot of translation is repetitive, so we store that and retrieve that based on source sentences, and then you can say, okay, I'd like to reuse that translation. Below, sort of off the screen here, is the machine translation, in this case powered by Google, but we've incorporated a lot of different machine translation engines. You also have key terminology. Different words have different meanings. So a lot of words are branded within companies. You can say, hey, this is, you know, Novell's a client. If it's NetWare, it's always going to be NetWare. Adobe's rolled this out for 650 of their product user groups around the world. And, you know, Flex is always going to be Flex, whatever language it might be. So we're really bringing the idea of translation tools to the content, leveraging the community, lots of resources available to the people participating.
Great. Thank you very much, Rob.
Great. Thank
you. So now I'd like to invite up Tim Walters, CEO and founder of RoundPeg. So I'm going to ask the same question. So show of hands if you have heard of if you've heard of RoundPeg. Oh, that's cheating because you met him just before.
I just talked to you in the hallway and you. No.
Anyone else towards? I think there was another hand over here. Was there? No. So RoundPeg is actually something near and dear to my heart. So Jive, as you know, we're growing pretty fast. We do a lot of interviewing, a lot of hiring. We've doubled in size over a year. And for those of you that have, you know, do hiring and have done lots of it, you know how tricky a skill it can be, and how different organizers do it, different organizations do it. I think one of the things that RoundPeg is sort of trying to formalize a little bit more and bring into a process is sort of bringing organizational design and grounding it in science and data about whether someone would be a good fit. Not can they, you know, can they code the right way? What experience have they got, but would they be a right fit? You hear this term all the time. Would they be a good fit? What does it actually mean? I'm not a jigsaw puzzle. So this is what sort of Tim is spending all of his waking hours sort of focused on.
You're hired.
So tell me a little bit more about who you're targeting and the specifics of the problem. So, you know, I have this question like, what is fit? How do you define it?
Yeah, so I mean, the bottom line is we help teams collaborate more effectively. Harvard Business Review came out with some statistics. I think their whole May issue was dedicated towards hiring and star performers. And they said 50% of the people you hire today will be gone within 18 months. And a third of the star performers in your organization are currently disengaged. So that's what we help out with. We help figure out how to hire more effectively into your company by producing a fit matching algorithm. I've got a co-founder, it's our chief psychologist, has been doing organizational psych for 15 years, and we're basically taking her process of translating personal environment fit and being able to create a predictive model that allows you to assess whether somebody's going to fit in or not on the front end and on the back end. If you have misalignments, how can you use those to your advantage? How can you strengthen the team and strengthen those things? And one of the things that I'm extremely excited about working with Jive, you know, the workforce is becoming more and more virtual. Project teams are coming together and splitting up after 6 weeks or whatever the length of that project is. So you don't necessarily see people face to face all the time. We organize this whole project, you know, online and without being face-to-face, so you miss those nuances. We bring those back on the table, let you understand how other people work together.
So tell us a little bit more about where you are in your evolution, RoundPeg. So when did you start? Where are you in the market evolution?
Yeah, we're a year and a half old, so we're angel-backed. We're seeking venture capital right now. We have already 140 companies using this product. We're extremely excited about pushing it out in the marketplace through channels like Jive.
And now, obviously, as a startup, you're sort of resource constrained. So, tell me why you're interested in the Jive Apps market platform relative to sort of other opportunities.
Yeah, like Glyph, we're four people right now, and we are hiring as well, hiring a couple more engineers. But the key for us. Is to keep our burn low and keep our cost of sales low, and so using Jive and social platforms as a channel to get out into the marketplace and reach the people who are making those decisions on hiring and need to collaborate more effectively in these virtual work environments is extremely important.
So let me hand over the clicker, and you can talk a little bit more about the app.
All right, we're right in the middle here. So what we're giving you is a couple of things that we're pulling out of the Jive platform. At the top there shows you the communities or teams that you're currently involved with, and the numbers above, similar to an iPhone app, show you what new interactions, how many new people that are friends or community members have filled out the round peg assessments. You can go into there and then directly ask them to join your little round peg community so you can figure out how to work more effectively together. The bottom part with the avatars is it's looking at who the people you most often communicate with. Josh talked about what matters. This is who matters. Who matters to you in your day-to-day work environment, and we help you figure out how you can work better with them. So let's see. Diving into this, the first thing that you do, you'll be invited by somebody else in your community. They'll go out, take the assessments, and they'll invite you. And so now you can compare yourselves to that other person. The first thing you do when you get in is you take a set of assessments. They take about 25 minutes, but it goes through cultural values, your personality type, and how you like to communicate with other people in that environment. And once you have that done, then it shows you sort of how that compares, how you overlap with that other person, and drills down into that information to see, well, how, you know, what is that mix in terms of how your misalignment plays out with that other person or with that entire team. Shows you how you complement in the best of situations and how it might create conflict in the worst of situations and how you kind of get through that. So overall, it's helping these communities work better together. It's helping you find the right people that you can bring on board that are more likely to work with your teams, and then how to keep them engaged ongoing.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks. So last but not least, I'd like to invite up the CEO and founder of Tungle. So quick raise of hands. So who has heard of or used Tungle? Okay, a little bit more. I'll just a little sort of personal advert. So I use it. So I'll let Mark talk more about what it actually does, but helps schedules meetings sooner and more easily. I'm saving about an hour a day, literally, with this application right now, because a large part of my work day is meeting with people outside of Jive. Not inside of Jive, but outside of Jive. And the pain of not trying to sync through email. I think 70% of meetings are still scheduled through email. Mm-hmm. Someone sends me a time, I don't sit for a couple of hours. By the time I send back a time, that time's gone on their calendar. They can't see mine, I can't see theirs. So this is a very, 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 very cool app that is personally saving me a lot of time. So, so Mark, tell me a little bit more about the problem you're trying to solve and who you're solving it for.
So I think you said it all. I mean, it's everybody's favorite subject, meetings, especially it's the scheduling of it. Like, we think of all the emails back and forth, phone calls. Like, we did some research and we found that it can take 15 minutes to schedule a 30-minute meeting. Think about that. 50% loss in productivity scheduling a 30-minute meeting. Now, add that you're trying to schedule it with 5 people now. Exponentially complicated. And then after that, you add one or two of these 5 people you're trying to meet are outside your company. So you have no clue whether they're free or not to meet, and then you end up reverting to email, and that's when people pack up or get an executive assistant to do all the work for them, and that's the pain that Tungle solves.
So tell me a little bit more about what progress you've made to date. What systems you work on, because I know you spend a lot of time solving the multi-platform issue.
So it's important to understand that Tungle is not a calendar. So we don't ask you to drop whatever calendar application that you're using. We basically just put it on steroids. We think of your calendar as the noun and Tungle is the verb. So we've spent a lot of time, I mean, we've been in operations for 4 years and we only launched last year. We spent all this time making sure that we can work with all leading calendar applications out there. So we work with Outlook, with or without Exchange, Google Calendar, iCal, Entourage, Lotus Notes, BlackBerry Calendar, Windows Live, you name it, we work with it. And so we work with all these things. Now, since we've launched last year, we didn't have a month where we didn't grow 20% to 20-30% every month. And we have customers or users in 30% of the Fortune 100. We're used in 700 universities all around the world. And all our growth, by the way, has been done with zero marketing and zero sales force. Because what's happening is people are using Tungle to schedule meetings with other people. These people do not need to become Tungle users, but they seem to like the service so much that they're converting and becoming Tungle users, and it's doing the pyramid effect for us.
Yeah, and I can actually say, you know, I use Tungle. I publish Tungle, you know, tungle.me/rbordoli. That's the calendar that is publicly available out on the web. Anyone can come in and select, oh, I'd like to have a meeting with Robin there. I then get to decide whether to accept the meeting, so I don't get sort of flooded with meetings that I don't necessarily want to take. But that person doesn't have to have had Tungle. So it's not a, you don't have to have two people on the service in order to interact. And I know through the, I think there's 40%.
Yeah.
So some, when someone of the number of non-Tungle users that experience Tungle on the other side, 40% of them sign up to Tungle, and that's it's turned out to be more than that in my particular case as well.
Right.
So tell me, obviously, you've got experience with other apps marketplaces. I think you've made some decisions about which other platforms and markets to participate in. Share a little bit of your thought process about why you're interested in the Jive Apps market.
Yeah. Platform. We didn't build Tungle first to be a consumer app. It's a business professional app. Although sometimes people are using it to schedule lunches and all that, it's really to help business people meet. When we look out there, we decided to build Tungle not to be a destination site. We decided that we need to be where people are making decisions that they want to meet. And Jive is a great collaboration platform that's trusted by large companies, Fortune 100 individuals. And so what we're looking is bringing our scheduling service with this great collaboration service to really making it a better experience so that people can be more effective and productive in their work environment.
So with that, let me hand over the clicker. And
thanks.
A little bit.
You know, you were right to put that one first. This is the dashboard view. First thing that we do is we allow you to bring your calendar into your Jive infrastructure, your Jive platform. So you get to see what you're doing. So you could be using Outlook, Google, iCal, all the ones I've mentioned before, Lotus, IBM. You can bring that into your environment so you get to see what you're doing and who you're meeting and all that stuff. Then comes the fun part, scheduling meetings. When you sign up to Tungle, as Robin mentioned, you get your own URL. For example, mine is tungle.me/mark. And so there, this is actually our VP of Product Management, so we're in his account. What you see here in purple is his own calendar. Now, he's going to try to schedule a meeting with people. If that person that you're trying to schedule a meeting with, whether they're inside your company or outside your company, is part of the Tungle network, you get to see their availability. And it's a combined availability as you start to schedule meetings with people. If they're not, doesn't matter, you can still go and propose times to meet with that person. The other advantage of Tungle is that you get to propose multiple times for a meeting. It's not like they're free at 9 o'clock, let me book that time. You get to propose as many times as you want, 10, 15, 20 different times, and Tungle will make sure that the negotiation happens, and when the meeting gets booked, you get notified and puts it automatically in your calendar, and we'll put it in your native calendar, and we'll show up in Jive in the whole shebang. So that's what we do, and we do group meetings and so on. Automatic time zone discovery. We also make sure that you don't get double booked. So that's a lot of the value that Tungle brings to the table.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just noticed that Mark's actually got the URL of his personal calendar on the back of his T-shirt. And he gave me a T-shirt, and mine's missing. So why don't I get mine on there? So that gives you, hopefully I've given you a little bit of a sense of the variety of the apps that are possible with the apps framework and the apps market. We've seen variety in terms of what the application does, in terms of the stage of the company. We've got, you know, companies that are a handful of employees. We've got ones that have been around for a decade. And hopefully that gives you a little snapshot of what's possible with the framework and with the market. So I'd just like to say again, can I, a round of applause for the six participants. So 7 minutes. So I want to give one last example of another app which talks about sort of unlocking your enterprise data. So I've talked about this concept, so I want to show you an app that does that. So imagine, if you will, I'm a CFO or I'm a head of a sales team, and John, I know you've already seen this, so apologies. And I don't want to spend my time inside of a CRM solution because I only actually do one thing. The one thing I do is approve quotes. Quotes come to me. I'm the no guy. I get to say no. Occasionally I say yes, but I get to be the bad guy. And so I don't want to go hunting around inside of a CRM solution, work out what to do. I spend my time in Jive. I'd like that to come to me. And so here what we have is a simple app that shows quotes sorted by date, you know, the client they're for, which sales agent or sales rep it is, and what's the price of that quote. And I may already know, you know, a bunch about this. So I look at the one that's coming up, 9/16. Oh, I've got to approve that. And I can go and say, well, I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. And I expand and go sort of fully immersively into the app. And then here I get a little bit more information. I can see a description of what it is, the price, and then I get down there and I go, ooh, someone's discounted professional services 100%. Someone's trying to pull a fast one here. I'm not going to approve that. So I go ahead and ask the question, why are we discounting that at 100%? And then that goes away. And then after it, obviously that's gone back into the system. Once that gets updated, it'll get sort of populated back out into the app. So that's gone away. And then I can see there's another one here, SAP. That looks straightforward. I actually already know about that deal. I'll approve that and close that out. So that gives you an example of bringing enterprise data inside of an app that you can then interact on that data inside a Jive without having to go out to that particular app itself. So hopefully I've started to address the three key questions. What is a Jive app? Giving you some examples. How does it work inside of Jive? And then showing you and giving you some visuals to latch onto. So I know we're pretty much out of time. Let me take two last questions. Yes, sir. So there's sort of two bits there. There's the reputation system and a badging framework as well. When we talked about, you know, I talked about the interaction points, the touch points. There are multiple other interaction points that we want to expose, like apps in groups, apps on a profile, being able to influence the reputation system, badging. So those are coming. They're not there in the 5.0 release. Yes.
Yep. Without needing to get into too much detail, how do the various companies you show today, what's in it for them? What is their business model for integrating with Jive? Are they expecting to charge or not?
Yep. Absolutely. So I'll answer for them, and then you should feel free to, you know, go get the real answer from them afterwards as well, which is we do want to drive revenue for them. They're not in this for love and glory. They want to do this. And different companies will want to do different things. Some companies will want to put an app out there for mindshare and for awareness. Some apps will actually want to drive revenue. So we will support both individual subscription pricing as well as enterprise-wide licenses. And then we'll engage in a revenue share. So there's no cost up front for our development partners. And then, you know, we get paid a slice of that as the app is successful and gets used.
And I promise we will never have advertising pop-ups in our app.
I can guarantee that. One last question, I think, John.
How are we exchanging authentication credentials between the app and...
Yeah.
Preferred method is OAuth. That's what we're planning to support. multiple versions and all that of OAuth. But that's the primary way that we expect the apps to be communicated with.
So all six that we saw here today are all OAuth?
I think that's true. Is that yes.
Great. I think we're
let me well in so out of